Holy black Jesus, what a day I've had! Fuck! God damn it, all the shit! Yoshi, where the fuck? Oh, son of a tit!
Yoshi.
Just look at yourself, you gluttonous pile of fuck! Why do you insist on eating every fucking thing you see? Now I gotta go save this stupid bitch on foot!
Welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josias and Adam.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, episode 194. I'm Josias at For the Villain on Twitter, at comic_syndicate on Instagram. I'm here with my boy.
Mem the Beaner, fuck my life.
What up, G? What's good, man?
Not much. That intro was pretty much how my day went with kids today, 4th of July week.
Yeah, dude, I totally forgot it's 4th of July tomorrow.
Yes, I don't know why the fuck we have to work today, but dude, it's just, kids are just... They don't want to be there. They want to be at home for fireworks. I had one like fat Yoshi kid.
Oh, jeez. Hence just, the Yoshi?
Just fucking yelling. And I wanted to record his voice so bad, bro. But I was in another room. But I could hear him.
Oh, jeez.
Two, three rooms down for like 30 minutes screaming. We had to call the grandma to come get him. Just fucking screaming, kicking doors, slamming tables.
Yeah.
It's horrible, dude.
Well, sorry to
that
hear
that. That was my day.
Yeah, I thought we were going to skip all that.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
It's all right, man. My weekend was pretty much the same, dude. Busy. Work. Did nothing exciting. That's about it, dude. You ready to rock and roll?
Yes.
All right, man. So we're going to run a tight show this week. We're going to see how we wing it, I guess, dude.
But, sounds good.
Fuck it. That was the game plan, so let's do it, dude. Do you want to know what we spoke about 100 episodes ago?
Yes.
Okay, episode 94, we entitled hashtag WhiskeyV. We hit what the fuck news, whiskey vagina, the reasons why you're not getting wet, ladies. 9 things you can't change about your partner, so don't even try. So those 2 articles we hit. Nice. We hit comic news, DC and CW show news. We hit new Spider-Man movie news. We hit a board game review, which you reviewed. You reviewed Betrayal at House on the Hill.
Oh, very good game, guys.
Okay, I remember a bunch of your games. I can't get them straight, dude, but yeah. We hit comic reviews, Battle World, Master of Kung Fu, number 1, Loki, Agent of Asgard, number 14, Avengers World, number 21, which was Book of the Week, Planet Hulk, number 1, which was also Book of the Week, and Transformers Combiner Wars, number 41, which is Book of the Week as well.
Nice.
All right, man. I posted up on Facebook right now, dude, not too long ago, you know, what anyone has to talk about. My supervisor, dope fucking cat, dude, Carl, hits us up, dude. He says, who would win in a fight? Robin is played by Burt Ward, or Robin is played by Chris O'Donnell, or the unreleased potential of a Joseph Gordon-Levitt as Nightwing?
Damn, dude, I don't even...
I like that. It's got to be Joseph Gordon-Levitt, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's just... Yeah, dude. That's an awesome question, Carl. And actually, we're going to talk about Nightwing tonight anyway. So,
yes.
Those are going to be my reviews. That's about it. Albert hit us up on Snapchat right now saying he saw Baby Driver and asked if we're going to review it. I did not watch it.
I have not seen it.
They blacked me out on that, dude. I was going to watch it before my shift on Saturday. And they're like, yep, you're blacked out. So, I did not get to watch it. I have to wait 1 week, dude. So, once I catch it, I'll definitely review it. I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Nice, dude.
All right, man. So off of that, dude, let's hit some quick Twitter love shoutouts. On Instagram earlier today, dude, our boy we haven't heard from in a long time, dude, the Jake71.
Oh, cool.
On Instagram. Hits us up. What do you think of the announcements regarding the Batman being more of a noir thriller than a superhero movie? Do you think DC is ready to get some R-rated, gritty Batman stuff? That's the kicker, dude. I want to see more of a noir fucking Batman movie.
I just want to see a good fucking Batman movie.
True that.
That's all I want to see. I mean, rated R, bad languages, whatever.
Yeah, fuck it.
Just give us something.
And if they
good.
Show us more of his detective skills, I mean,
that's oh yeah, more anyway. Bruce Wayne,
yeah, or more detective straight up. Yeah, so that would be dope. So thanks a lot, Jake, dude. I miss fucking chatting with that cat, dude. Next one's gonna be, I'm gonna talk about the 2OC. They're the podcast from the my boys Anton and Alan. I guess last week we put an intro to our show.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Anton or Alan thought, like, oh, these motherfuckers are biting us. What? We've been doing this for over 194 shows, dude. We've done it for at least half the shows, so slow your roll, dude. Don't flatter yourselves there so much. No, but sincerely, dude, those guys are good podcasts. I always like chatting with them, dude, in our chat room, and they have a really good podcast at 2OC, dude.
They have an intro like that, too?
They always toss in the intros of like what they spoke about during the show and on the cool moment. So, I mean, we do that every so often. It's like when we like an hour-tight show. When we have plenty of time left over, like last week, when we have no time to read anything, really, we can talk about anything else, really, but we like to go half and half, which is tonight we're going to do that, dude.
Sweet, sweet.
All right, so listen to them, find them, dude. Last one's going to be off of our Twitter poll from last week, dude. I actually put up on Twitter and Instagram as well, dude. If you had to give up one over sex, which would it be? Take out those that don't apply to you. I think people were bullshitting around and just lying on fucking Twitter because the options were bacon, cheese, football, or the internet.
Okay.
Okay. So on Twitter, dude, 25% of people said they would give up bacon over sex.
Only 25%?
Yep. 38% of people said they would give up cheese over sex.
Wow.
25% of people surprised me. This is why I'm saying people are fucking lying. 25% of people said they would give up football over sex.
Wow. There might be a lot of people that don't watch football.
True that. No, of course they're going to cop out to the fucking one. Right. Like, that's fucking lame. And only 13% of people said they would give up the internet over sex.
13%?
Yeah. So again, next time I do something like that, I'm going to put, instead of, I'm going to put alcohol, like all alcohol, meaning beer, wine, you know, just alcohol. I'm going to put the internet, I'm going to make it more broader, sports in general.
Yes.
You know, and then so we'll see where it goes next time. But I thought that was interesting. You had me put it up, so we did get some.
Very cool. Some thank you for doing for that, man.
Last one's going to be public service announcement.
Fireworks.
Fireworks, guys. 4th of July is tomorrow, the 4th of July. We love 4th of July. Well, I don't know. I see fireworks every night. I live right by downtown Disney, so I technically see fireworks every night.
Yeah, so do I. I live like down the street.
Yeah,
you live
down the street from me. Yeah. So, I guess the public service announcement, we give this every fucking year. Right after we graduated high school, I used to work at a warehouse, dude. So I had a bunch of box cutters and a bunch of the guys, Adam and myself, a bunch of the guys. We used to live next door to my dad's office at the time. So we took a bunch of guys over, went next door because we had to work on these particular items that night.
Yes.
So we bought a bunch of Piccolo Pete's. And the thing about Piccolo Pete's, they're pretty rad guys. If you cut off a few centimeters off the bottom portion of the base, pull off the base and slice it, and then you literally unroll the Piccolo Pete's till you get to the brown cardboard part of it, and you have an inch to 2-inch Piccolo Pete now.
Yes.
Really thin. So that way, when you light them up, and you just let go of them, they fucking zip all over the place.
It's pretty cool when they
They're rad, dude. They're just so unpredictable, though.
Yes. And so you know what's unpredictable? Box cutters are very
see that should be the intro
very very unpredictable. I mean, you can be cutting a little bit and then you just slice your fucking whole thumb
artery off, dude, like out. Because guys, so it was a bunch of guys. I had a bunch of box cutters. I had like there's six of us in there. You, myself, Jacob, Daniel, Ray, Moses, my brothers,
Walter
was there. I had everyone a box cutter. And as soon as I hand them out, I'm like, all right, guys, just be careful because each of these box cutters are extra sharp. Be careful. I know you guys. I can trust all you guys. As soon as I said
that. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Adam was one of the first people I gave a box cutter to. And then by the time I got to the last person I gave the box cutter to, he's like, Joe, I got a problem. What? He pulls his hand off his fucking thumb and whoosh, whoosh.
Blood everywhere. Pushing
everywhere like a Kill Bill movie, dude.
Oh, that hurts. It was
hilarious because we had literally... I barely gave you the box cutter.
You know, like I said, very unpredictable.
Okay, yeah.
Slice right through the Piccolo Pete and my hand.
Yeah.
I didn't think it would be that sharp.
Your first Piccolo Pete.
And I was like, fuck.
We had like 100 Piccolo Petes to go after that.
So we got some duct tape and wrapped it up.
Oh, fuck. We got a tissue paper and literally tape. Not even masking tape or
good tape. Oh, my God. It was bad. So, guys, don't be stupid on 4th of July.
Yeah, don't do a Jason Pierre-Paul and you hold on to the firework till it blows off your hand.
Oh.
With Jason Pierre-Paul, right? From the Giants?
From the Giants, yeah.
Okay, anyways, guys.
Keep all your fingers. Yeah, dude, they don't grow back.
Everyone be safe. It's going to be awesome. We normally get I don't know. Our listeners seem to drop off and listen to us a week or two later because it's family time. Everyone's busy with barbecue. So we get holidays are always tough, dude. Listen to us whenever you guys can and get back to us, dude, about your guys' holiday, how you guys enjoyed it.
Cool beans.
All right, man. First thing I'm going to hit real quick is going to be our fantasy football league. Finally get to talk about it, dude. Everyone, we had a lot of people fill up the league quick this year, dude.
Oh, really?
So like all 12 spots, dude.
Yeah.
So the people we have in our the Comic Syndicate Fantasy Football League 2017 contestants are going to be at For the Villain at Mem the Beaner. We have Tustin Giants David.
Yeah,
we have
David.
Gold Blooded, which is really cool. I like that. His name is Ricardo. We have Going Commandos Gabriel. We have Nightwing Goes Jock, which is my buddy Christian from the second job. Sweet. So he jumped on, dude, which is cool. Hammer of Gore, Sergio's back, dude.
Oh, easy win.
We have Biggity Big's team. Pablo decided to jump on board this year, dude. God. We have El Gallo Negro. Sadie's back, dude.
Oh, boo.
We have Army of One Monkey. Monkeys. Andrew, cool cat. And then we have Freddy's team, Freddy. And then we have Bobby's team, which is Bobby, dude. So we got a... It's going to be fun, dude. 12-man league, dude. So cool. It's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. The shit-talking, I got to... download the app to get that going, man.
Sweet, man.
Can't wait for the shit talk. I can't wait for football, dude. Number three is going to be... That's about it, dude. We hit everything so far, man.
Nice.
All right, we said we're going to run it as tight as we can, so let's rock and roll, man. I brought one article over today. It's going to be the second to the last. Next week, I have one last topic to go through about relationships.
Sweet, sweet.
This one I thought was really cool. Scientists revealed the 17 biggest relationship deal breakers for men and women.
Oh, I like this.
All right. Typically, research has delved into what men and women consider deal makers in relationships, the traits they find most desirable in a partner, rather than deal breakers. But now scientists at Western Sydney University, Indiana University, the University of Florida, Singapore Management University, and Rutgers University have examined the undesirable personality traits and unhealthy lifestyles across sexual, romance, and friendship contexts. The researchers conducted 6 separate studies to determine what men and women consider the absolute worst offenders when it comes to dating.
Nice. I'm pretty sure I'm guilty of this.
All right, man. So in one of the studies published in the Personal and Social Psychology Bulletin, the researchers supplied 5,541 single U.S. adults with a list of 17 negative personality traits and asked them whether they would consider them deal breakers in a mate in a long-term relationship, nice. The Independent reports. Even though more women than men considered the traits to be deal breakers, there were more similarities than differences between the sexes. See the results below, and here we go, dude. First one is going to be, number one, messy, unkempt appearance. The top deal breaker among men and women, a disheveled or unclean appearance, according to 71% of women and 63% of men. And we can go through these and
stuff. I can see that more than men, yes. I mean, like, oh no, us 63% affect us more if the woman is dirty.
I think we're willing to look past it.
Ooh,
we're not dirty.
Hairy
not.
Armpits, no mustache, sideburns. Dude, okay. You're not gonna look past that.
Okay,
bro.
Okay. I used to be really big on bumming it, but now my bumming it is still shorts and just a t-shirt. But like, I don't think I look. Like grungy or fucking.
Are we talking about like clothes or are we talking about hygiene?
Everything, dude. Hygiene. Messy, unkempt appearance. So I guess just the appearance alone. So when you bum it on your worst day, let's say you're fucking sick, would you go outside like in your fucking sandals, board shorts like me, and just like a comic fucking book t-shirt?
I mean, yeah, I guess. I mean, I go outside with my fucking chonas on when I go. when we end the show, I'm always out there with my chonas, my slippers on.
No lie, dude. Okay, number two, laziness is a deal breaker. 72% of women and 60% of men can't stand a lazy partner. Do you want to take it or should I go first?
Dude, I'm just guilty. Just go ahead.
Okay, laziness. I fucking hate lazy with a passion, dude. I'm busy. I'm on the go all the time, dude. I don't know what lazy fucking means. There's no lazy in my vocabulary. So if I see somebody being lazy, it irks me, dude. So, yeah, if my broad is lazy, yeah.
It bothers me, too. I mean, like, Margo cleans the clothes, cleans the room, cooks, so she's not lazy. So it doesn't affect us.
Yeah. So you're the lazy one.
I am the lazy one, yeah. I'm the uncleanness. And
number three is also a deal breaker for me. It's going to be neediness. If you're too needy, 69% of women and 57% of men are walking away. Neediness, yes.
I could see that for you. I mean, no one wants to be smothered. Nobody wants to be like,
yeah, fuck that,
dude. Oh, come in and text me. Da, 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 da. That, get Mario back on this fucking
show. Yeah, no shit, dude. Number four, humorless.
Oh, yeah.
No sense of humor is a major turnoff for 58% of women and 50% of men. You have to be funny in my world, dude.
You gotta take a joke.
Yeah.
If you can't take a joke, it's not gonna work with either of us here.
Yeah, definitely, dude.
So.
Next one is gonna be number five, which is interesting, but true, I believe. Number five, geographic distance. 47% of men, women, and 51% of men won't stay with a partner who lives far away, quote unquote.
I could see that. I dated a girl by nice.
I was dating a girl who lives in L.A., straight up L.A.
Oh.
And
she have a car?
Yeah. And lucky. We would meet up, but like I worked two jobs, and then she ended up getting a second job. And there was just no fucking time like for either of us. So yeah, relationship. I mean, that's long distance.
Yeah.
And that's not even long distance. That's what fucking sucks. Number six, bad in the sack. Bad sex is enough for 50% of women and 44% of men to end a relationship.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so if you had a chick that was bad in the sack, you would dump her? Like she couldn't, I don't
know. Yeah, I think so.
So you just, I mean, usually you would just take over. And just
the smarts her. Would have to be there. The personality, everything that I like would have to be like top notch. So if I'm looking at you and you have an 80% on all the scales and you're bad in the sack at 40, no, everything would have to bump up. Everything else would have to bump up to 120% to make up for.
Jesus.
And then I will teach you how to have sex. I mean, that's pretty much how I feel. Number seven.
This guy, you guys, like, you have these goals for these chicks. Jesus hey, dude, Christ.
I'm single. I have a right
that's
to be.
That's true. You, it's, you have the right, man.
Number
it's
seven, cool. Insecurity. If a woman, or if a man or a woman is lacking self-confidence, 47% of women and 33% of men would head for the door. I like confidence in just people. Anyways.
I wouldn't.
And I like self-deprecating humor and shit like that, dude. But, you know, it's a bummer. Like, I look terrible today. Dude, you look hot and you're not wearing makeup.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, you're not even joking around. Like, you really think you look terrible. Like, be more secure in how you feel about
it. See that girl over there? Now that's ugly. Yeah, you start to start comparing her to other chicks.
See, we should have one of those as intros, dude. It's a
fucking ugly bitch.
Number eight is interesting, dude. Tech obsessed. Fuck. A partner who's consumed by too much TV or video games is not desirable for 41% of women and 25% of men. I don't mind that, but okay, again, I've spoken about it on the show before. The ex was always wanted to watch TV, and it's like, fine, you watch what you want. I'm gonna sit here right next to you, I'm gonna read.
Yeah, it becomes a problem after a while. I mean, I have the same problem. Oh, we're gonna watch a movie, I go, I gotta read something, and then I'd rather read than watch or play games
because sometimes it's just not intriguing enough.
It's marriage, so it's
true that you got a different story.
I watched the show with you.
Next one's gonna be low libido. For 27% of women and 39% of men, a low sex drive means for a breakup. So man. You know what? Yeah. If you never want to have sex, I mean, it's not the main part of any relationship, but that is something you share with your partner. So
yeah,
I mean, sex is a big thing.
Yeah, it's to some people, it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number 10 is bullheaded. For 34% of women and 32% of men, an incredibly stubborn partner is not appealing in any way, shape, or form. I'm not bullheaded. I think I'm just really firm in my beliefs. That's how I'll phrase it.
Slash bullheaded.
Not bullheaded. Because I can see every type, every point of view, every side of the story. I always look at it, dude.
Okay.
Like, I'm not right all the time. But fuck it. When I know I'm right, and I know you're wrong, you're going to hear it.
They're going to call you on it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number 11 is interesting, dude, because I might be guilty of. I don't think I've been guilty of any of these so far.
How many do you have? 11?
So I'm 10 17,
for,
dude.
I'm 17 for 17.
Number 11. I don't know if this is you. Too chatty at 11. 20% of women and 26% of men don't dig a partner who talks too much.
You know, I don't like someone that talks a lot.
Okay, go. Continue.
I mean, it's just, you know, sometimes you just want to, like, you can just lay there next to each other without having to say anything and still be lovey-dovey. Or unless you have that one person just keeps talking and talking and talking. It's just like, shut the fuck up.
I don't mind a talker, dude. Like,
really?
I'm a chatterer. Like, I'm, once you get me started, dude, I'm on the Energizer fucking bunny. I like conversing with people. It sucks because even my text messages turn into fucking novels sometimes. And it sucks because it's like, there's so much I want to say where it's, it, I know I can be overwhelming, but...
Yo.
That's the name of the fucking show. Yo. Although now we'll talk about that later. So too chatty. Women, do you like chatty guys? Guys, do you like chatty women? How do you guys feel?
I think women would like more chatty men than men liking chatty women.
I don't know. I think more women would like to talk and talk about themselves.
But we're talking to the chicks talking.
No, but they want to get asked, no offense to women, but in my opinion, in my experiences, you ask them open-ended questions so they can talk for 5 minutes and they don't even have, again, my personal experiences, where they don't have, hey, sweetie, how was your day today? And they go off for 25 minutes and they don't even have the fucking decency to ask you, how was your fucking day?
Because it doesn't matter.
Right, exactly. Number 12, interesting, the opposite of that, too quiet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not too quiet and chatty. Yeah, I'm too chatty. There's got to be a happy medium because 17% of women and 11% of men are adverse to someone being quiet. So, all right, you guys got to find the middle ground, I guess.
Right.
Number 13, a bit too frank. Wow, okay, then this one I am definitely guilty of.
No filter.
Being too blunt, exactly, no filter, is a highly undesirable character trait for 17% of women. It's just a small percentile. It's okay. And 11% of men. You know what? No, dude.
I had to learn.
Go, tell me, please.
I had to learn. When I first started going, I was totally fucking no filter. And she trained me to have filters because I would say stupid shit, bro. And just after years, I have learned to not worth it, dude. Just let it. Just don't say that.
Like there are given circumstances where you know, okay, not to say this or not to do that. If you're around kids, you know, and I don't smoke, and you know, just those things.
Right.
But being too blunt, I know how to put myself in check. But I would rather people be honest about bullshit than not.
I get. Yeah, but it's just sometimes not worth it.
Yeah. Well, I'm single. That's probably why I'm single. Number 14, not keen about kids. Someone who does not want children just won't cut it for 15% of women and 13% of men. Yeah, if a woman didn't want to have kids, yeah.
It'd be a problem.
Well, I would like to have kids eventually, yeah.
We're getting kind of old there, buddy.
I know.
Especially the women. You can't, 40 years old is pretty much it.
I know. Number 15, extra baggage.
Oh, man.
Conversely, 12% of women and 14% of men don't want a partner who already has kids.
Oh, it's hard. I've dated
women with kids before. That's not a big issue for me.
It gets harder, man.
Yeah, you're kind... Yeah.
It gets harder because you get older and they're older. Unless you're going out with 18-year-olds, 21-year-olds, then you'll be fine.
Okay.
Which is nothing wrong with that, being lucky you.
Yeah, okay, now, true. Like, it doesn't bother me. I've dated many women, older women, too, with kids, you know, different ages. So it's odd sometimes, interaction. But besides that, again, I'm a people person, so.
Well, I mean, you're staring at the kid. He's staring at you like, yeah.
Yeah, like, possibly, yes.
I'm totally going to bang your mom, so.
It's time for you to go to sleep, kid. I'm 21. Go to sleep right now. No, I'm just kidding. Although he was 21. Number 16 is going to be too buff. Again, I'm not in this category. Dude,
this is check for me.
All right, so 10% of Bagwell's women over here. And 7% of men prefer their partner not to be too athletic, though. We have a hard time seeing why. Okay, so too buff. You're not too buff. I'm not too buff.
I'm not buff at all. Okay. I'm just kidding.
So deal breaker is interesting, dude. Have you ever dated a chick that was too buff? Quote, unquote. Because, I mean, kind of. In shape?
In shape, maybe. Let's go hiking. Yeah, maybe tomorrow.
Okay.
You go hiking and I'll stay in the car.
I don't mind dating, but like I've never... I want to have sex with a bodybuilder chick. Just to know what the fuck that feels like.
Dude, she's going to kill me.
I want to fucking...
Headlock and then like...
I'm game. I'll show her some wrestling moves.
Dude, okay. You do that and let us know.
Oh, I will. Let us know. Number 17, not athletic at all. If someone is characterized as being not athletic, 6% of women and 7% of men are saying sayonara. So
it doesn't really matter.
Not athletic at all. I prefer someone who goes on walks, hikes, go, yeah.
Would it be a deal breaker?
No, fuck no. Oh,
okay.
Not for me. Not for me. Okay. But since we're talking about this, since you did mention deal breaker, and it is a deal breaker fucking article, is there any one deal breaker for you right off the bat where you would be, I'm out on this?
Just being mean. Just being mean, rude. Yeah. I got out with some women where, like, they're mean to the first date. If you're going to be mean to the waiter...
Yes.
Or waitress.
I'll give you that.
It's like, dude, already? Like, what the fuck? So what, they forgot your salad? Everyone knows you don't want to eat a salad. She forgot. Chill out.
Mine would be, and I was listening to KLOS this morning. There was an awesome commercial that went on KLOS, dude. 95.5 out here. I hate shallow broads.
Oh, yeah.
And the commercial was, it was a chick, and she sounded like a fucking blonde. No offense. And she's like, some ugly person just told me I'm shallow. Can you believe that? And that was like the best commercial ever. I'm like, holy shit. Like, shallow people, people that feel they're on a high horse, people that are inconsiderate. Oh, fuck me, dude. I got a list of them, dude.
Yeah.
Unkind, mean, yeah, dude.
Unkind and mean. Shallow? This is stupid. I don't care how hot you are. It's just, it's not going to work.
Demanding? Demeaning?
Demeaning, demanding. The big D's.
Yeah. So, fuck it, dude. Okay. That's all we got, guys. So, again, we're running a tight ship. We're going to hit some commercials real quick.
Cool. Go to our website, thecomicsyndicate.com. You find two banners, one orange, one black. You find a lot of other banners. But if you're buying anything on Amazon, go ahead and click on the orange one and buy whatever you're going to buy. It helps out a lot. It doesn't cost you any of the money. It doesn't cost you anything. And like I said, thank you for everyone that has done it. We really appreciate it.
All right, guys. Again, thank you to Piggyback. Adam, always want to thank you as well. We do see it, and it is going to the places where it should be. Mm-hmm. Like the new Lamborghini I'm going to purchase. Oh, wait. That's
not not that I wish.
No, guys. Thank you again. We love it. We appreciate it. It's going to be a tight show, like we said, but we want your guys' feedback on this one. So you guys can find my boy, Adam.
Remember the Beaner on Twitter and Instagram.
You guys can find me at ForTheVillain on Twitter. You guys can find me at Comic_Syndicate on Instagram. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. Just type in the Comic Syndicate. Subscribe to the podcast. Share the podcast. We'll be right back with some
Comic Talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist of Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and are having a good time on a Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
Okay, we're back.
Comic Talk.
17 for 17. I can't believe I'm married.
Fucking, I'm still single.
You're lucky. Anyways, we're going to talk about some comics.
I want to go there so bad because I saw somebody at the second job the other day, someone I went to high school with.
Oh, yeah?
Straight up gangster, dude. He's like, I went to school with you, right? Yeah, dude, what's up? He's like, you look familiar to me, and I wanted to say something, but I kept looking at you because I didn't know if we were cool back then.
Isn't that awkward? Like,
totally fucking awkward.
I know you.
And it's like, I don't look as sharp as I normally do going to work. You know, it's just like I'm in my polo, my black, everything, dude, my hat. And I'm like, nah, I'm fucking cool with everyone. He's like, nah, man, fucking, we never spoke, but like, you know, I want to know if you were the good part of Santa Ana or the bad part. It's like, dick, every part of Santa Ana, motherfucker. Like, yeah. Like, I know what's going on, dude. So it was just funny, dude, hilarious. But yeah, dude. So that's cool. We had a conversation. He went in fucking last night of all times. Third time I saw him, and he goes, fuck, they tell me, dude. He told me the same thing. He's like, how's life? I'm like, I'm fucking good, just minus working the second job.
Right.
Are you married? How many kids do you have? Dude, homie, I'm single and loving it. He told me the same thing. He's like, fuck, you're fucking lucky. I wish I would have done the same thing.
Oh, man. So, I don't know. That's fucked up.
All right, man. No, it was a nice compliment, dude. All right, first one's going to be Warner Brothers developing a live-action Jetsons series with Zemeckis, dude.
Robert, I love the Jetsons.
Yeah, you love them so much, I forget their names.
Yeah, Jack, whatever. Jetsons.
Everything, they're going to remake our fucking childhood by this point.
You know, they
but
have,
Robert
they
Zemeckis,
have to.
I'm cool with that.
They have to. I mean, it's. I'm curious. I'm glad that some of the kids are going to have something
and
to watch.
And speaking about childhood, dude, two trailers dropped this week. Jumanji.
Did you like it? I saw the trailer. She's hot.
Oh, she's hot. I'm not saying anything. I haven't said anything yet. It doesn't look good.
It's going to be funny, but it's not going to be as good as the original.
Oh, definitely. I'm just going to say that. I don't know. Hopefully it's great, but I feel like Kevin Hart and The Rock are in everything together.
This is barely those guys, though. Their second movie together. I love those guys. They play the whatever that one movie with the
yes, I know exactly what
intelligence
you're
whatever
it's in for intelligence. There you go. It was a good movie. It was
funny. It was funny, dude.
I wouldn't have seen it in the theater, but thank goodness I saw that one for free. Or else I would have said, fucking wait for DVD.
Or TV. Yeah.
Or TV. There you go. Another trailer dropped, dude. Marvel's Inhumans teaser trailer.
Looks good.
Oh, fuck me, dude.
You didn't like it?
No, I didn't like any of those trailers.
You know what? Medusa looks ugly, but I think it's going to be okay.
I don't know, dude. I hope it does well.
It looks like a S.H.I.E.L.D. show.
That's
it looks just like a S.H.I.E.L.D. show, so I like it. We'll see.
Next one's going to be Tom Holland is allowed to read Avengers script.
Tom, what?
So he's been dropping a lot of spoilers in interviews.
Mm-hmm.
He's a young kid, so he hasn't quite realized the fact that, oh, I'm saying too much right now.
Oh, fuck Spider-Man.
Yeah, dude. So he can't read the full script, and yeah, they're just going to wait for his scenes. Like, all right, learn your scenes, Dick, and yeah. He's probably going to spoil more shit, dude.
Nice.
Besides that, dude, Nick Fury co-starring in Captain Marvel movie.
Fury. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I already
bridges knew the gaps between the movies.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. You know he's going to be in this movie.
Not bad. Hey, doggy, doggy.
Yeah.
Next one's going to be, now just DC, dude. The Batman, maybe noir-driven detective film. So that's what Jacob was talking about. That's I'm cool. Down with it.
That's good.
We spoke about it earlier.
I mean, I would like to see more thinking and more solving.
Definitely, right?
Than just kicking face in.
And, I mean, that's definitely going to happen. But I want to see some psychotic killer out on the loose where Hush would be dope to get introduced. Any character that would make Batman think and, like, fuck, I have to figure out, solve this riddle. The Riddler? A good Riddler.
A good Riddler, yes.
So, yeah, that would be dope, dude.
I mean, I like Clayface. But
oh, fuck me. Clayface would be
really cool. I always like reading comic books.
Clayface would be great as a noir movie.
Yeah.
I mean, and it would be kind of dramatic, too.
What about Penguin?
That would be a great noir Penguin's fucking pretty movie. That would be a straight-up gangster movie.
Yeah, not fucking Danny DeVito.
No, but a good fucking... That would be a good detective movie.
Yeah.
Okay, and gangsters and shit. Yeah, that would be cool.
For sure.
I'm down with that, dude. You know what, dude? That's all I got, man. We're going to hit some comic reviews, man.
Cool, man. My boss gave me this book.
I got to ask before that. So your boss reads comics?
He does. He's the principal. He has, like, Watchmen on his shelf in his office.
That's fucking dope.
And I was like, what the fuck? There's, like, blue dick everywhere in that book.
But kids don't know that.
Yeah, he's a big Alan Moore fan.
Okay.
And he
said... Okay, does he listen to a podcast?
No, fuck, I'd be fired.
See, all these are better intros.
Right? So, I don't want to put that in the intro. What if he does see in the beginning of the fucking...
Just kidding.
Just kidding. Anyways, he let me borrow this book, Divinity. It's by, it's from it's Valiant. It's Valiant,
yeah, dude, publishing.
And I'll go into how much I want to read more Valiant after this. I really enjoyed it. I'm going to do the first trade. I know we're scrapped for time, but I'll do it real quickly.
No, rock and roll. Actually, we're good on fucking time, dude.
Sweet, sweet. A baby is left at the doorstep of a Russian family. Mm-hmm. A shadow figure is seen leaving the baby. The baby's name is Aram Adams. And the family that takes him and grooms him to be the best of the best. Like, they groom this guy. He's African-American. And they groom him to be the best. Adams is hella smart and is physically strong. This all happens during the Cold War. There's a lot of back and forth in this comic.
Okay.
So the race to space between Russia and USA is it's like the
board, a big main point.
Fucking thing. But the Russians want to go not just the moon, but past it. But the problem is time is a problem. So they tell Adams that he will be...
The space race, pretty much. Huh?
Yeah, so he will be asleep for 30 years. They want him because he doesn't have a family of any loved ones, so he's kind of expendable. Like, if you get lost, oh, well. But he does have someone, a woman, that he's been seeing in secret. We go into today, the present time, David is... There's this character named David. He's climbing a mountain. He slips from the mountain climbing, and Adam's there in his suit, this space-type suit. And he tries to save David, but David falls and hits his head and falls. And he wakes up, and he's walking through, kind of like the desert trees, kind of a dreamlike, and they keep saying this in the narrative, turning the page. We don't really know what that means till later.
Okay.
Back to Adams. He tells his girlfriend back in time. He tells his girlfriend he's going to be gone for 30 years, and he leaves her and flies to space. Both David and Adam are connected as they meet up. Eyes on Adams. There's a sniper on him. Right. This is present time.
Okay.
There's a sniper on him. Two other guys. Miles away. And Adam looks at them. And the sniper's like, oh, shit. I think he's fucking looking at me. This is... But I'm like three fucking 4 miles away. This is ridiculous.
Okay.
And he turns and he starts, the men start changing. Like he turns this guy into an eagle.
Okay.
He starts forming into an eagle. The other guy turns, the other soldier turns into like sparks and flowers and shit. And the last one, his wife shows up with their baby. Adam has come back from 1945 to 2015, and he is not the same. So that's the first one.
Wow, that sounds interesting. Dude, so time travel or time
he comes back?
Time. Oh, so while he's out there, time is moving.
Yeah, the light speed and shit like that.
Okay.
So we go to number two, and Adams, before leaving, his girlfriend told him she's pregnant, and then he really gets on the ship. Just kidding.
Idiot.
Just kidding.
Adam finally chimed in.
Adams has brought back. And when Adam comes back to present time, there's like a sphere of like it's like a small.
You still have me rolling. I'm sorry.
There's a sphere that is floating in midair in Australia. There's like this. It's like green. It's like plants. It's like a big patch of land, but it's floating. This is where I think David fell into when he fell off that mountain. The SEALs, the army guys that came to take out Adams, had been giving what they wanted by him. And this is a quote. He's turning anger and lonely personalities into things of beauty.
Wow, okay.
So Adam is left in space, not for 30 years, but for 50 fucking years, because the funding of the program of the Russians ran out.
Wow.
They kind of forgot about him. He had to walk and work out.
Kind of like the Martian. Where he has to live off the...
Well, he wakes up and he goes... He has to exercise and goes back to sleep. And that way his body doesn't shut down.
Acclimates.
Yes.
Yeah.
At one point, the radio starts working. And he can hear what was happening throughout history.
Okay.
So he can hear 1945 to like 2015. He's hearing...
That's a lot of history.
So he's listening to it. One of the scientists that had put him on this trip came... to the floating... Oh, it came to this giant Earth. Now it's present. It's back and forth, guys. I'm sorry. Adam knows him, one of the scientists that actually worked on this secret plan of sending him to space. He also made... So he sees the scientist, which is really old because it's 50 years later. He makes him young. Adam makes him young. He has... And he says he has the power to end war and shape our into imperfection. That's what he says. So Adam is becoming like a god when he comes back. So we find out what happens.
Oh, interesting. Okay, go for it.
So instead of taking heed to this, the government, they instead send a team to contain him. And she's going to start screaming, but that's okay. And this team has some heavy hitters that come out.
Oh, fuck me. Dope, dude.
Yeah. I don't really read anything from this company, but here are the list of heroes sent. And it's Exo Manowar, Ninjak,
Livewire,
and Eternal Warrior.
Wow, dies. Okay.
Well, I'll get into that.
Okay, now Eternal Warrior, I reviewed when we first started the pod, like the first 20 episodes, literally. And Valiant is, you have the big two, which are Image and Marvel. I'm sorry, DC and Marvel. Mm-hmm. Marvel, DC, any way you guys want to look at it. The third one would have to be Image.
Yeah.
And you have the old school Valiant.
Yes.
So
it's really good. So they send this team. Exo is questioning the mission as to why are we doing this? This guy hasn't done anything wrong yet. Adam knows that they are here and gives them what they want, which they want.
Okay.
And that's when Exo sees his father. Ninjak sees his mother. Livar sees maybe her father. And Eternal Warrior actually dies. Like, that's what he wants.
The man who can't die. Yeah, he actually has been wanting to die for forever.
And then we go into 3, 4.
Rock and roll, man. I'm liking it, dude.
The Russians has put two others in the same mission, not leaving the chance. So they sent Adams, and secretly they sent two other dudes just in case two of them come back.
Yeah.
All three broke their mission and left their pods. Like, they came out like, dude, we're fucked. Like, they come together. Okay. Coming face to face with what looks to be like heaven. They've gone so far into space. Adam gets a voice and can't breathe and takes off his helmet and starts to like bleed out blood out of his eyes and ears and shit like that. It changes Adam to whatever entered into him. The other two kept on going, but they left Adam, and they believe that Adam believes that he has been chosen because he wanted to go back the most.
Okay.
So this identity or whatever chose him to enter him because he wanted to go back to see his wife.
Okay.
Or his girlfriend, whatever.
Oh, yes, yes. That probably now is old and has...
We'll get to that.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
He tried to fix the pod with tools, but stopped and knew that he was a changed man and he could fix it without tools. He meditates and everything starts fixing on his own. He just uses his mind. He makes his way home and doesn't need any hypersleep or anything like that. He's good to go. The radio keeps on going. He keeps everything up to date. You see, like, Martin Luther King talking. You see the Holocaust. You see all that stuff on the radio.
Okay, cool.
He finds his wife and child, and maybe he's some of them, not sure. Like, so he meets up with them.
Okay.
Present time, the team confronts Adam, and the fight begins. But Adam bends the reality, and each panel is slowed down. But in their minds, they think it's been months. So every second is a month.
So he's fucking
them with them. Yeah. The ninja guy is the only one that kind of knows what's going on and is trained
to get
that gets him out of
it. Okay, dope, dude.
He finds his friends and helps them out of it. So basically, every second, Adam has turned to months.
Okay, cool.
So they're like, whoa, they're tripping balls. Number four, the last one, they finally break out and start, the team finally breaks out and start fighting Adam.
Okay.
And all he's doing is helping the world with problems. He doesn't really want to do this, fight these guys. They play dirty and bring up digital figures of his wife and child. That's what he sees.
Okay, cool.
So that kind of like throws him off, which stops Adams from fighting and gives, I guess their team is called Unity or Unit. What is it?
Unity.
The time to build a pod to contain Adam. That's what Livewire is doing. Adam is talking to his wife and child, which are both dead by now. And it's heartbreaking because he's talking to him. His wife tells him that, you know, I remarried. I died of old age. As for your daughter, she died of cancer.
Wow.
It took her at an early age. But he's okay with it, and he stays in the pod so that he can talk to his daughter for now.
Wow, crazy, dude.
Bigger problems for the world is all the people that in this sphere are not are diehard worshippers of Adam now.
Okay.
Like they see him as a god.
Okay.
And are ready to give their lives for him. Like,
oh, wow.
They go in so as far as making a Bible. That David guy from the mountain is like the prophet. And so David, the guy that fell from the mountain, is the main prophet. He writes like David Camp 1416, this is written.
Crazy, dude. That's interesting, dude.
And you
work at a... Oh, finish up.
This was a great arc in the page turner. It's nice to read something different from the top two.
Yeah, I got your post today.
Yes. Yesterday. So, dude, this book was like fucking sick. That's the end of the trade, and they come out with a Divinity 2 next... they have it out already.
Current trade, though, or within the past year or 2 years, do you know?
This was 2015.
Okay, so
recent. 2016 was another Divinity 2, and then 2017 was Divinity 3.
Okay, dope, dude. You have me so curious about this, dude. I love hearing that you loved it so much. Something that was different than the big two. One of my friends hit me up. I'm a big Nightwing fan, you know that.
Yes.
I mean, we've named an episode Nightwinging it before.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm Nightwing at all, dude. I don't think I'm Alfred. I don't think I'm Batman. I don't think I'm anyone, dude. But when shit hits the fan, I feel like, fuck it. I got to step up to the plate. That's all it is. So one of my homegirls, Myra, dude, she's dope and down to earth, knows nothing about comics. Like, my friends that are even both jobs, like, fuck, this guy's into comics. And once they have that question, well, what the fuck are you so strong about this dude for? And my friend Myra, she hit me up. She's like, hey, dude, so what the fuck's the deal with Nightwing? Like, what's his fucking deal? So before I jump into any reviews, dude, I'm going to go into origin of Nightwing.
Sweet.
Which you know about, but Richard Grayson, Dick Grayson, as everyone knows him, dude, a.k.a. the first Robin, a.k.a. Nightwing, and a.k.a. Batman. So pretty much, dude, he was first introduced in 1940. As a boy, Dick Grayson was part of a family circus of acrobats, the Flying Graysons. Him, his mom, and his dad, a few family members, cousins, whatever. During a routine show that happened to be in Gotham one day, Dick witnesses his parents murdered by a mafia boss that was extorting money from the circus. Tony Zucco was the main mafia boss behind it. He sent two thugs to use literally acid on the ropes, the high wire, so it could look like an accident. Bruce Wayne, because it was in Gotham, was in the crowd during the show and sees the effects it has on Dick, and he kind of feels the parallels of what he's been through as well.
Right.
Okay. So when and that's Batman, Bruce Wayne, in Crime Alley, seeing his parents die, get shot in front of him. So that's where Bruce decides to take Dick Grayson in as an adopted son, and originally it was called Ward. So, as time progressed, like, they changed the continuity or the sayings into, I adopted him. So it was really cool. So, and the name Robin, the Boy Wonder, that's what he was. Young Dick Grayson was always a big fan of Robin Hood. That's the cheesy costume we know from the 70s. He was a big fan of that, so that's why he wanted a hero name, that could reflect him as a kid. So I'm going to go into deep origin, cool, dude. Cool. So that's why he was always in bright colors and greens and yellows, dude. So through rigorous and extensive training, Batman, Bruce, kind of looks at it as a way to channel his own personal rage, his own hatred, his own emotions in a way he never could. So he trains young Dick Grayson, dude. Which goes back to this father-son aspect. That's really dope to see, dude. So everyone that has seen it, that he is the first Robin, dude. Now, the first rift they have together as a family or as a unit is on a mission. They're fighting the Joker. The Joker shoots him, Dick Grayson, in the shoulder. He has to be like 14, 15. Gets shot. And this kind of puts Batman into this reality check where, fuck, I should never take you out on the field. It's all my fault. And, it takes young Dick Grayson a while to get back healthy. And he's like, hey, man, all right, I'm healthy. Let's go back to it. Nope, you're not going to go out anymore. You're not going out. He's like, no, I'm Batman. Like, I can fucking help you, man. Like, we're fucking boys. I'm your sidekick. We can do this. No, fuck this. You're not going to do a goddamn thing anymore. You're fired. Straight up, Batman fires him. Mm-hmm. Again, 13, 14, 15-year-old kid. And Dick Grayson ends up goes to school. He tries to become an attorney, lawyer type deal. He goes into that field, and he fails, dude. So he doesn't know what to do with his life. He's got to be by 17 by this point. Not knowing what to do with his life, he goes to one person that he knows that he's worked with also as well, is Superman. And he asks Superman, what the fuck should I do? Like, I want to help, and I don't know how to help people out. And Superman tells him of an old Kryptonian story of a myth or a story back from Kryptonian time, on his time on Krypton. And he tells Dick Grayson about a story where Superman and even his friend Jimmy Olsen don't have powers on this world. And they look at Superman as he's a villain, I guess. But he has no powers. So they've worked prior issues. This has to be in the fucking, in the 40s, 50s, 60s. Where Batman and Robin, young Batman and Robin that we know, the first iteration, worked with Superman and Jimmy Olsen before. And working with them, Superman and Jimmy Olsen were able to get like, fuck, dude, they're vigilantes. Like, we can do the same thing. So Superman and Jimmy Olsen come up with the monikers Nightwing and Flamebird.
Oh, nice.
Now, it's really cool because Superman tells him, there's a story a story a long time ago of a man who was cast out by his family, just like Dick. He dreamt of a world of justice, ruled by justice, and set out to protect the helpless and victimized as Nightwing. So the only thing Nightwing could do or Dick Grayson could do was, like, respect the man that trained him, Batman. And the guy who he trusts, who the only person, the most pure guy, I guess, the Boy Scout, and to pay homage to both of them and respect to both of them. Superman had the identity as Nightwing because of the influence of Batman when he worked with him. So that's why, to pay respect to both of them, I'm going to take Nightwing.
Nice.
So that's why we have Nightwing. So it's really cool, dude. I'll go on. I'm going to try to make it quick, dude. I only got 2 reviews, dude. As he gets older, to prove he is ready to move on as a man, he takes up the name Nightwing to gain his own independence. So as Nightwing, he starts and is the leader of the Teen Titans. He starts the Teen Titans and later the Outsiders, which is an offshoot team of the Teen Titans. Following the death of some friends, he disbands the Teen Titans. Like, he feels, I put this team together. Some friends died. It's my fault. This team, I have to cut us off. Like, we have to break up. Now, it's really cool, though, because he stayed Nightwing the whole time, but stories run through when Batman's bat's broken, when he's assumed dead throughout so many issues. Nightwing takes up the mantle as Batman eventually.
Yeah, that was a good arc.
And so many titles have happened. The first one where he finally took up the mantle as Batman was in 1994. And I can go into the history of how he wanted to. And when Batman would always, when Bruce Wayne would always ask Nightwing, Dick, can you, there has to be a Batman. Nightwing would always shoot him down. Mm-hmm. Nah, dude, I'm fucking Nightwing. Like, there's only one Batman. So several issues and so many arcs happen where Nightwing finally decides, you know what? Yeah, you're right. There needs to be a Batman. So he is the first Batman, or second, I guess. Second. Preceding. Now, it's really cool. He's done that throughout history, dude. And beginning of the New 52, he's Batman, and his Robin is Damian Wayne. Now, it's really cool because we've spoken about that, too, before, where they are the best Batman and Robin team ever, which
yeah,
I agree
yeah,
with.
Yeah, it was
I
good. It was good.
So it's real cool, dude. He becomes such a badass that he's actually asked at one point by the Justice League and Superman himself to become leader of the Justice League. And he shoots him down all the time, knowing he can't bring more to the team, when even just feeling that he doesn't have the time to be off-world all the time at any given moment, you know? Like, it's like, all right, we got to go to outer space now. Come with us, Nightwing. You got to lead us. He tells him straight up, shoots him down, I respect the offer, but I have no fucking time. Like, you guys are the off-worlders. I need to take care of my cities, whether it be Gotham, whether it be Bloodhaven. I need to take care of the people on Earth, and my feet need to be on the ground. This motherfucker, the guy who's always flying through fucking life without a fucking net, this asshole, shoots down the offer straight up, which is great. Now, it's really cool because on top of that, dude, the League has a respect, dude. And that's what really makes him interesting, just to me, dude. The Bat family even has that respect for Dick Grayson, dude. Nightwing. They love him enough, dude, to know that he's actually a true capable leader. He's accountable. And it's really cool because there's just a few sayings. Dick Grayson, it's good to know that no matter how many worlds I've been to, Dick Grayson is always a stand-up guy. There's the latest Nightwing arcs that have been going on. It's really cool because even a Superman from another world says, and he's talking to Nightwing, dude. I got the Nightwing bump. He's talking to Nightwing. The what? You vouching for someone is worth its weight in gold. It was true in my world and it's true in this one. In fact, out of everyone I've met here, you're the least changed from the version I knew. Always confident, always kind, always cool. Dick Grayson, the multiversal constant. So it's really cool that Superman on any world has that respect, even for Nightwing, dude. And speaking of what I love to see, even within the Justice League, like, you see the Justice League, like, Nightwing has been invited to missions, or Batman will call in Nightwing, like, all right, dude, we need extra help, or an extra eyes on this. And it's really cool because you always see, like, Superman asking Nightwing, so could you possibly talk to Batman about this, please? Because, I mean, I would, but we kind of need to save people off-world. Like, everyone's a pussy to talk to fucking Batman. And that's why I love it, dude, because the way Dick talks to Bruce is as a man to man, like, the respect is there. And everyone in the Justice League always looks like, when they're arguing, like, fuck, I would never talk to fucking Batman like
that. Right?
But Dick Grayson, Nightwing, is always like, no, motherfucker, you did wrong. Or if even one of the, his brothers, dude, one of the other Robins gets in trouble or does something wrong, and in Bruce's Batman's eyes, Dick Grayson Nightwing has enough balls to go toe-to-toe with him, dude. And there's an issue, I forgot what it was, I wish I had the exact one, but it's like, spare him the lecture, Batman. So one of the Robins was in trouble. Nightwing picked him up, and Batman starts ripping into him, and Nightwing tells Batman, hey, cut it fucking out. I already spoke to him in front of the Justice League, and all the Justice League looks at each other like, fuck.
Wonder Woman juicing.
Yeah, probably, dude, but it's really great, dude. Overall, he'll go to bat for you. And if they still have their moments back and forth between the two is always dope. The respect that Batman, Bruce Wayne, has towards Dick Grayson Nightwing, that he'll actually listen to him, is fucking dope. I love fucking Dick Grayson. I love Nightwing.
Pretty cool.
So much more I would love to go through on that, but and hit two reviews in quick status, dude. First one's going to be Nightwing number 22, speaking about Nightwing and Dick Grayson. Number 22, Blockbuster Part 1. Tim Seeley is the writer. Miguel Mendoza is the artist. Vicente Caifuentes is the artist. Inker starts off with a man named Roland walking through the boardwalk of Bloodhaven after serving some time at Blackgate Penitentiary. Dude seems to Hulk out, though, and seems to take some sort of serum. And then it jumps into Nightwing at work, jumping in on two rival gangs in a shootout, staking territory. One of the sites is using stronger alien tech weapons supplied by a group called the Second Hand that Nightwing now has to figure out. And he's got his detective skills. He then heads back home for the night and to see his girl, dude. We see some cool pages between the two as they talk about work and money. And he's like, she's like, are you going to go to the interview in the morning? I don't know, sweetie, like. I've got no sleep. And she just wants him to find a job. And it's really cool, this relationship aspect, because it looks like she's asking him, like, I don't care what you do. Like, I dig on you. I love you. Like, just, you know.
She's not getting Bruce's money? He's not getting Bruce's money?
No. Oh, he's been on his own for a long time.
Cool,
now.
Man. All right.
But that's why I love Nightwing, dude. And again, dude, he's doing it on his own. And the relationship aspect was really cool, dude. And her telling him straight up, it's not important, like, what you do. And then it's really cool what we see, as during this point, we see some flashbacks from Nightwing, from his old girlfriend. And it's not a flashback of her necessarily, but something she told him, which is Barbara Gordon, Batgirl.
Okay, Batgirl.
His ex-girlfriend. You went through hell to get your secret identity back. Don't you want to focus on being Dick Grayson? So, really cool to see that. Then it jumps back to Roland that got himself an offer at a casino he works for a new job from his employer that happens to be Tiger Shark, which is like a B villain. The next scene comes out where Roland goes out after Nightwing, and Hulked Out is able to find him right away and starts wailing on Nightwing. Beats his ass really good, and Nightwing's like, oh, I've beat this guy before. Every time he gets Hulked Out, he just gets dumber. So I got this guy, cake. And he's getting rocked, and he's like, what the fuck is going on? He's like, oh, what? You realize I'm not slow this time? So he's able now to keep the mental capacity. And he turns the Hulk, he takes a serum, he unhulks, I guess. And he's like, hey, dude, we got some shady cops in the city of Bloodhaven. I need your help. Here's a list of the shady cops. If I go to the authorities, they won't believe me. So can you help me out? That's how that one ended. Nightwing number 23, Blockbuster Part 2, starts off with the young Robin in a flashback with his first encounter with Mark Desmond, and he was the original Blockbuster. So cool to see right off the bat, though, that it's not the young Robin's recollection of the time, but of Roland's. So it pretty much happens due to him using his brother. So the original Blockbuster was the one that Nightwing thought he was fighting, and then now we get the story where his brother... Blockbuster's brother was working with him all the time. Every time he would Hulk out, because he was so dumbed down, he was like, let's rob this bank so he can fuck his brother over for money, which he did. And then he tells Nightwing this whole story, and he's like, I need your help. Like, people were bringing these weapons into the city. I just want to help people now. I feel guilty for getting my brother locked up, for taking all the money. Like, I want to make amends now. So Nightwing, during this time, goes out after some cyborg chick, which he's able to fight off eventually. And he follows the lead. And it's really cool because it goes back to the relationship aspect. Again, he needs some time. He goes back home to his lady. Just needs to fucking chill. And you get some really good relationship aspects moments again, where he visits her at work and she's like, I'm, you know, how do you feel about us losing our kid or not having a kid? You seem more relieved now. And he's like, I really wanted to have a kid so bad and it wasn't able to happen. I want to know what we're both able to bring to the table because I know I'm a good man. I'm a hard worker and I could possibly quit the job if I had a kid. It's just you and his girlfriend now happens to be an ex-C villain.
Okay.
The Defacer. So really cool to see that aspect. And as the relationship or as the conversation goes on, it gets more boiled. And he's like, fuck, I gotta go. Like, I have work to do. Like, I gotta go to work right now. And his work is fighting crime. Mm-hmm. So he's trying to figure out, you know, what's happening on, what's going on with these leads, with these bad cops. And he heads out, he's attacked by some new villain, and he's dropped in a ship, and where they drop him is in a room full of a bunch of villains. Now, whether they be B or C villains, if they were normal thugs, I could see Nightwing getting out of it, but like top B characters, but like in a room full of them, Nightwing gets dropped, and he's like, fuck. So it just feels like my day all the time. Like, fuck, what else is going to happen next? Don't ever ask yourself that, dude. So next issue is going to be called The Night of 100 Supervillains.
Damn.
I love it, dude. I love Nightwing, dude. So, yeah, dude, that's all I got, dude. Book of the week. And I hope you guys enjoyed that that origin story for Nightwing, dude.
Very cool,
we went a little
man.
Long, but we can cut off the intro, I guess.
Yeah, if we need to.
You guys can find my boy Adam.
Find me at Mem the Beaner on Twitter and Instagram.
You guys can find me at For the Villain on Twitter. You guys can find me at Comic_Syndicate on Instagram. Share the podcast more than anything, guys. Let us know what you guys think of this long/short
podcast. It was not short, but it's cool, man.
All right, guys. We wanted to keep it tight, and that was fucking tight still, though.
It was.
All right, guys. Share the podcast more than anything. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you guys next week.
Peace out.